Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The hot topic of the day, thanks to an Athletic article that was also tweeted by James Pearce, as well as it's all about Mason Mount. So the article was originally from Simon Johnson and Raphael Honigstein. The future of Mason Mount is already in focus, well ahead of the summer. Further on goes to Dante. Liverpool lead the list of domestic suitors. The former Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel, newly installed as Bayern Munich's head coach, is also credited with an interest. James himself, I'll just switch over very, very quickly, goes on to tweet. So Liverpool are definitely interested. Ticks a lot of boxes, age, profile, skill set, homegrown, etc. Chelsea won £70 million, but difficult to see anyone paying that for a player. Dance was finally out of his contract. It does feel like we're about to get to the stage where the Mason Mount stuff, Neil, hots up. And yeah, this is one of those. It's got the hallmarks of like one of those Liverpool signings that rumbles on for a while and everyone kind of knows about it. I was referencing like Oxlade-Chamberlain, Shaqiri, where it was weeks and weeks and weeks where it was always, oh yeah, a little bit of interest, and then all of a sudden it just happens. Again, there is other teams interested in Mason Mount, of course there are, but it does feel like there's a lot of smoke from the Liverpool fire, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily compare it to Shaqiri in the sense of buying a player from Stoke, which with a, you know, a pretty low release clause and a relegated team. But yeah, Oxlade-Chamberlain was one, I think he had a year left on his contract and it was sort of rumoured. Arsenal sort of got to the point where it was, you've got to sell or you've got to extend. He didn't want to. I mean, it looks Mount's in a similar position at the moment. There's obviously a lot of question marks around Chelsea in the summer. I think there was a story earlier this week or at the weekend about them. I think it was described as a fire sale in terms of, you know, having to get players off the books, which you would imagine is the case given how many they've added to the books in you know, recent months. And yeah, he looks like one of the expendable ones, doesn't he? There's a few. Ziyech would be in the mix. Pulisic, probably Loftus-Cheek, players like that. He would probably be, I would imagine, the one that would, I think, would split the fan base the most. I think if you were to sell him, I think there'd be some who say, yeah, no problem. And there'd be others who would see it as a bit of a significant step. You know, a homegrown player who's come through, obviously become a Champions League winner with them. Been, you know, one of their more consistent performers and, you know, current England international. To sell him to someone like Liverpool, I think would be seen as a, you know, a major call from Chelsea, but I don't think they could even countenance the idea of letting him run his contract down. You know, I definitely agree with James. £70 million for a player with 1 year left on his deal and a player who, you know, isn't viewed by them as one of their top earners and one of their top players, clearly. I don't think that's realistic for Chelsea. I think it'd be a lot less than that if they were to sell him. I mean, the Bayern Munich thing's interesting. Obviously, Tuchel taking over then, we know that he was a favourite. I mean, he's a favourite to every manager that's had him, isn't he? You know, Frank Lampard loved him. Gareth Southgate's another one. And obviously, Tuchel had great success with him, didn't he? You know, he played a huge part in that Champions League win, set up the winning goal in the final. So that's an interesting one. I think Sky was sort of saying they don't think Bayern Munich are interested at this stage. And
yeah, Christian Falk, I've got here, by the way, on that. Mason Mount was not an issue in talks between Thomas Tuchel and Bayern. The new coach wants to get an overview of the squad first, and midfield in particular is more than adequate. And for further transfers, players will first have to be sold from Bayern. So that's Christian Falk doing it from the Bayern angle in Sport Bild. So yeah, it does feel like it's an obvious one though, isn't it? New manager goes to team, player new manager liked, picked all the time, might be for sale. There's an obvious link to
that. Anyway. I think so. And I do think it is often the case. I feel like that when a manager takes over, that there are those stories do emerge that, oh, he's going to bring all his sort of his band with him. You know, I think that was the case. Remember when Klopp came to Liverpool, it was always the case. Oh, he's going to get Royce, he's going to get Gundogan, he's going to try and get, you know, Hummels and whoever. It's not always the case. Sometimes it is, but I think more rarely than you'd think managers sort of go back and take all their players. It's not the Harry Redknapp, Nico Kranjčar obsession. But
Neil Warnock, Paddy Kenny,
I've listened to a podcast about Paddy Kenny where he sort of says every time Neil Warnock was appointed, I just waited for my phone to ring. But yeah, I don't think it's quite like that with Mason Mount. But I think what it does tell you, you know, is that he might not be seen as the sort of most glamorous player, maybe, you know, just in the wider public. I think he's seen as more of a, you know, a manager's player, or, you know, that kind of player, as opposed to one that the fans will really get out for. But he's got a lot of fans, you know, in within the game. And I know Liverpool in the past have been, you know, really, really sort of impressed by him, you know, at youth level and then coming through. And, you know, I remember when Harry Wilson was at Derby on loan, I think that was, what, 18-19 season, Mason Mount was there as well. I think they shared a house. And, you know, the reports that came back on Wilson always contained a lot of Mason Mount, and he was seen as, you know, oh, those two are the sort of, I think Fikayo Tomori was there as well. I think they were seen as like, oh, they're sort of elevating Derby, you know, to becoming player and promotion contenders. So he's got, you know, a lot to offer. You know, as James says, you know, you look at his age, you look at the type of player he is, you look at the experience that he's picked up, obviously the fact that he's Premier League proven, the fact that he's homegrown. There's a lot to like about him. And the other thing I would say, you know, I know this sort of, it's a hard one to sort of really express properly, but if you look at some of the names that have been linked with Liverpool, and, you know, you look at Matheus Nunes, for example, no doubt he's got the potential to be a very good player for Liverpool. But I don't think you can say at this stage that Matheus Nunes goes straight into Liverpool's midfield and makes it better, or Liverpool's team, and makes it better. I think you can say that about Mason Mount. I think if Liverpool had Mason Mount for the remainder of this season, I think they would have a better chance. You know, I think some of the issues that they've had wouldn't be as prevalent, or wouldn't be, you know, would be easier to fix. So I think you would put him sort of a level above some of the names that are being linked in terms of what he's proven. But, you know, I think Manchester United were linked. Obviously, you've got Bayern Munich. I think there's going to be some competition if and when Chelsea decide to sell. And it might be difficult to sort of, you know, come to a fair price. What did Liverpool pay for Oxlade-Chamberlain? That felt like a lot at the time. I think that was 35 million. That felt like a lot. You know, if you're talking more than that for a player with a year left, then that is going to feel like a lot. But I think he would make a difference to this squad. And he's young enough, and he's good enough to sort of to get even better as well with a new club.
Do you think also the fact that he can, and I know predominantly he's played midfield for Chelsea, whether it's centre mid or like a number 10 almost, but he's played left wing for them, he's played right wing for them, so Liverpool are losing Roberto Firmino. So you mentioned when we talked about Luis Diaz earlier, the six attackers it's about to become five this summer. If you can get a lad who can do midfield and attack, he almost becomes your sixth option. Now, we know Liverpool, they fell foul of this before, of your backup in one position is also another player. Another position, but we keep saying they're already in for midfielders, but they've got lads who can do a couple of jobs and add that versatility as well. So, for example, if it's Matheus Nunes who can also do a little bit of that, but then you've got Bellingham who's just a midfielder, you've got Mount, it's easier to bring all three of them in and go, well, there is game time there for you, because if you're not my centre mid, you might be my left winger that day, or my right winger, because Mount's done it for England, he's played wing for England, he's played centre mid for them as well. So that versatility could be a key thing, and not only in like Liverpool getting him in the team, but also persuade them to come to the Reds, that there's enough games there for them.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be using that to Mason Mount. You know, you can play on the left as well. I mean, if I ever looked at Liverpool, I'd sort of say, well, the last place I'm going to play for Liverpool anytime soon is down the left.
Everyone plays down the left.
You've got, you know, yeah, Curtis Jones, Fabio Cavaglio, you've got, you know, Harvey Elliott. You know, there's a lot of players that they can play there, but you don't want to see them there, because you've obviously got Diaz, you've got Gakpo, you've got Jota, Darwin. So yeah, maybe not that, but yeah, I think the more versatility he's got, it gives you options, doesn't it? You know, if you get an injury crisis, if you get a position where you think, do you know what, unexpectedly this player's actually nailed down that sort of left side of place, but we've got Mason Mount there that we've paid £50 million for, oh yeah, we can get him in here. I think the style of player is more sort of appealing, or more what Liverpool should be looking at, you know, in terms of he's an energetic player, he's a good presser, he's someone who's tactically aware, he takes up the right positions, good against the ball, good on the ball, and, you know, at his best, creates and scores goals, doesn't he, from you know, whether it's in the attacking line or one further back. So I think it's more about the type of player that he is, and the sort of the attributes and the skill set that he can bring, as opposed to sort of necessarily thinking, well, where do you fit him in? I think it's quite clear he would be an addition for, you know, one of the wide number eight role, not wide number eight, the shuttle.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Number eight roles, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And the age thing's important as well, because we have mentioned this a lot of times. Liverpool got a lot of young players and a lot of older players getting lads who, and James says this before, and when he says Liverpool are definitely interested, he ticks a lot of boxes. The first one he mentions is his age.
Yeah.
He is of a good age where he is like, he's only relatively young, but he's in his peak, he's in the middle of his career where he's not inexperienced like an Elliot and a Bicetta. He's not Jordan Henderson, James Milner coming into the latter 30s, Thiago's. Well, he's basically what Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain should be, prime, in the middle of their careers, and are good to go, because Liverpool are lacking that in that centre midfield area.
Yeah, well, they were the players. When Liverpool, the last time Liverpool changed their midfield was they bought players of this age, didn't they? They bought Keita and Fabinho, yeah, and Oxlade-Chamberlain to a certain degree as well. You know, 24 to 26. They have a bit of a donut sort of situation in that area, don't they? They have a few young players, you know, up to sort of 22, and Curtis Jones, Elliot, and then Bicetic, obviously. And then they have, like you say, the older ones, 29 and above, and Fabinho, Henderson, Milner, Thiago. So, yeah, it has... I think the age thing is, and I suppose as well, it justifies the spend, doesn't it? You know, if you think it's a high price for a player with a year left on his contract, well, you add 5 years onto his contract and he's 24, you think, well, he's retaining value then, isn't he? You know, regardless, and he's got another move in him potentially. If you need to offload him, you know, you still have some value. You're not sort of, you know, you're not buying a player who this is his last contract or his last sort of, you know, significant transfer fee. So yeah, it gives you an element of security as well there. And I think as well, if you look, I know he was injured for this current international break, and I think he's had a few problems, but he's played a lot of games, hasn't he, for one so young. He's played, certainly over the last 3 or 4 years, you know, he's been a pretty much, you know, very consistent. He's been on the field, and I think that also plays you know, a part into his into his appeal, that he's not someone who, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain was a bit different, wasn't he? I think there were doubts over his injury record. You know, I don't think there's too much over Mount at this moment in time.
Yeah, he's played 192 games for Chelsea, 44 for Derby before that. He was on loan at Vitesse Arnhem before that, and played 39. So already in his young career, he has played a lot of footy.
Yeah.
He's also been capped.
And England, of course, yeah.
Yeah, playing 36 caps for England. So 128 Premier League games, 27 goals, 24 assists. It is the type of player where the numbers start making sense. He's a bit unfashionable. And I think the fact that he's like Chelsea's, not whipping boy per se, but he's the one who a lot of the fans get frustrated. That can seep into your mindset sometimes. Well, they don't even like him, but Liverpool have had success before of going buying domestic players and them getting better at Liverpool. We've seen that happen plenty of times.
Yeah, I think as well, you see it a little bit at Liverpool, don't you? You know, the one that gets the grief is the one that's always there.
Yeah.
You know, and he's obviously been, he was there, he was seen as Frank Lampard's sort of pet, wasn't he? You know, obviously because of the Derby thing, and then he played very regularly under him. And also, you're right, the style of player he is, it's maybe, I wouldn't say it's harder to appreciate, but it's not as thrillingly spectacular as, you know, Marcus Rashford, you know, roasting someone on the outside and going, you know, lightning pace or shooting from, you know, sort of all angles and scoring 30 goals a season. He's not that obviously sort of spectacular, but, you know, I don't think you could... When he's played against Liverpool largely, maybe not most recently, but when he's played against Liverpool largely, I think you've seen him as a really dangerous opponent. I mean, if he had a few chances, didn't he, in the Carabao Cup final last season, I think he missed. He should have taken at least one of them. But he always feels like a threat on the pitch. You always feel like, oh, you know, like if you don't lock him down, you know, he can hurt you. And that sort of thing, I think, sticks with clubs and with scouts and with managers, that, you know, when you hear a player might be available, you think, really? Like, you know, like we've had trouble with him in the past, you know, and he also plays a little bit like our sort of style. So, yeah, I think that it's not a surprise to see Liverpool linked. The question is obviously whether Chelsea, you know, will be willing to change the situation by putting a big contract on the table, or by, you know, if other clubs come to the party and start offering, you know, transfer fees and contracts out there as well. So there's still some twists, but it does look like Liverpool are certainly going to be looking in the summer to get something done.
Yeah, last one on Mountain before we move on. The 70 million thing's obviously nonsense, because of course Chelsea are looking for 70 million. Good luck with getting 70 million for the lad in the last year of his contract, who is pretty much getting pushed out the door at the moment in time. That's the thing here, when it's transfer fees now, it's hard to value a player, isn't it? Because he's English, which we know adds a tax on. Liverpool need English players and homegrown players. You're selling to a rival, so you probably want a bit more money than anyway. But it is the last year of his contract kind of thing. It almost feels like whoever buys him has got a really strong position to buy him from, because you mentioned before, Chelsea aren't going to let him go for nothing. So there's you know what I mean? But so there's got to be a fee where a deal's done. They're not going to get 70, but you're probably looking at a 50-ish maybe, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? I think there's a few players that have sort of broken the mould a little bit. I mean, I thought Liverpool got quite a low fee for Sadio Mane last season. I know he was older, but, and you could argue, you know, given the way his season's gone, that actually Liverpool, you know, did Liverpool sort of see something coming? I don't personally buy that, but, you know, Liverpool got, what was it, 30 million for Sadio Mane? I think Bayern got something similar for Thiago with 1 year left. So, you know, it does feel like if you were talking about sort of 50 million for Mount, I know he's significantly younger, and for the reasons I discussed obviously earlier, you know, there is an appeal in terms of resale value, and that obviously comes in for the selling club as well. Well, hang on, you're going to get a player in the peak of his career. Yeah. You know, you're going to have to pay for that. But I think you're right. I think it is difficult to sort of to judge where transfer fees are, because the Premier League as well, in particular, it's so distorted, obviously, you know, around the world. You know, I think that story that we're talking about in The Athletic mentions Juventus as being a team that would like to sign him. I mean, you know, it's hard to see an Italian club sort of coming up and matching the Premier League in terms of, you know, it was a straight fight. It doesn't feel like there's many clubs around Europe that could sort of really step up besides, you know, the elite two or three. So yeah, I think it is difficult. I think it may, you know, Chelsea's 70 million thing potentially is just, it's a negotiating tactic, obviously, isn't it? And maybe to smoke out a few, and maybe they'd love nothing more than to see Liverpool and Manchester United going hell for leather, you know, trying to go and get this player. But it would be hard to look past sort of 45, 50 million for a player like that with 1 year left. I think you're not really, it wouldn't be Liverpool's sort of style, it wouldn't be many club style really to just go, yeah, whatever you want, let's have it. I think there'll be a significant reduction in that kind of figure.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed watching that chat about Mason Mount. That came from our Journo Insight show. If you want to check out that show, either in video or podcast form, including a bit of an exclusive from Neil Jones about Liverpool's situation regarding Evan and Dika, then do go over to redmenplus.com, sign up as a monthly club captain, and if you use the code Journo on the payment screen, JOURNO, you won't pay £5 a month for the first 3 months, you'll pay just 99p for the first 3 months. So yeah, redmenplus.com, monthly club captain, use the code Journo and come and check out the entire episode of Journo Insight. I'll see you over there.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.